The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Monday, and there's no better person to talk about it all with than the Sporting Tribune's Fernando Ramirez. Fernando, how are you doing, my friend?
Arash, I'm still speechless. I can't get over that second night of WrestleMania. So yeah, no, it was definitely something else.
Go check out Fernando's amazing footage, Compass on the Beat. He'll plug it and promote it, because I just want you guys to check it out. He got to talk to all the WWE superstars at their media day Friday, leading up to the two-night WrestleMania in Philadelphia. All right, let's I don't even know where to start here. I guess we kind of have to start backwards in a way, because we cannot lead off with one of the greatest main events in WrestleMania history. The one thing that I will say about the Paul Levesque regime is that he gives the people what they want. And that main event had so much going on. And for a moment there, I was a little worried that a lot of these run-ins, whether it was John Cena, The Rock, The Undertaker, was going to take something away from the story, and that was clearly not the case. Break it down for us. Your thoughts. Again, this has been a year plus in the making, this main event, and I think it lived up to the hype. Your thoughts on night two, Sunday's main event.
So, I've been a huge fan of what they've done with Roman and the way they've built him up and what they've done with him. And I thought if he was going to lose the championship, it had to be in a special way, in some way where it just doesn't seem forced. And this was not forced at all. I was really surprised. I actually thought Arash that Roman was going to win, just because I thought he was embarrassed 9 years ago in Philly when he won the Royal Rumble and they booed him out of the city. I mean, even The Rock had to come out and kind of help him out, and they still booed him. And you could even tell on Dwayne's face that he's like, whoa, what's going on? So I thought he might get his revenge on Sunday night. But like you said, Triple H is the word. I mean, you heard it all week. We're entering a new era. This is a new era. We're doing something different. And now I thought night two was really indicative of what this new era is going to be. Sami Zayn beats Gunter, and you're like, whoa, like, and I know I'm skipping to the Intercontinental Championship, but I didn't think he was going to win.
Yeah.
And until Kevin Owens kind of came out and was like, this is your time, go get it done. But then the WrestleMania match was just, it was literally cinema. Like, I know everybody keeps on talking about cinema and it's been incredible, but it really was. I mean, when Seth Rollins came out in the Shield gear, I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to lie, Arash. I actually was looking for Dean Ambrose. I'm like,
100%.
Was like, is Dean here too? Like, and obviously, by the way, that needs to happen. Yes. I don't care what they have to do to get Dean back or John Moxley. We need a triple threat WrestleMania with those three guys. But
yes.
But I just thought the way they wrote it, I mean, Roman decided to go and hit because, you know, that's Roman deciding that he's okay with going out by getting his revenge after all these years of Seth turning on him.
Yeah.
And then Cody gets his opportunity. Everybody comes out, celebrates. The Undertaker, John Cena, The Rock, that was all awesome. The only thing is, I know nobody was expecting the dong. Everybody was expecting the glass to break.
Yeah.
It didn't happen, obviously, but it was cool. The Undertaker, I mean, I saw tweets where people were like, this was deafening when he came in. So honestly, I thought they did a great job with it. I thought everything that they did night two with that, and then night one, The Rock really impressed me. 45 minutes. I didn't think he was going to be able to hang like that, because I get nervous about the way he kind of breathes heavily. But I thought they did a great job. So literally, what they've done from January till now, everything has been perfect. I am just amazed at the way Paul and Nick Khan, they have just put on a masterpiece when it comes to this rivalry, to be honest.
I mean, just imagine if you're a fan traveling from around the world, and that is really what this event does. And you want these people to go home happy. Again, some will stay tonight for Raw, but I can't imagine that any fan who flew in for this event is not going to leave home happy. I mean, again,
even if you're a Roman Reigns fan, that
exactly.
was an incredible ending.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, by the way, at some point, the run had to come to a close again. I think there was a lot of people who thought maybe he would break. You know, listen, he wasn't going to break Bruno Sammartino's record. So
it doesn't. That would have been incredible.
Right?
I actually think that would have been incredible. But it's not like that old school wrestler. You don't need him to do it nowadays. And Triple H said it in the press conference. He said, Roman's going to come back and his character is going to blow your, like, you haven't seen anything yet. And I'm like, oh, crap. Like, the Tribal Chief was incredible. Like, but by the way, I am happy that they did not have The Rock turn on Roman. It would have been too quick.
Yeah.
3 months building this up just to have him turn on him. No, no. You need to take your time again with this and slowly change and do what you need to do. But I honestly think Triple H and Nick Khan and all these guys. And then Stephanie, I guess, is back in the fold. So that's actually pretty cool.
Well, this is only intriguing to like nerds like myself, but like I thought it was interesting that Dustin said, listen, you knew Triple H Paul Levesque was going to come out in the end, but that Dustin was like, Bruce Pritchard, come on out. And then Stephanie McMahon beginning to show the way she did. I mean, again, you cannot separate the connection. I mean, Stephanie McMahon is Vince McMahon's daughter. Bruce Pritchard is Vince McMahon's best friend. And so, and again, I'm not saying that those people should not be a part of the company because of what he's going through, but I did think it was unique. But I think that's them saying, hey, Vince is gone. This is the whole time. But Bruce is, again, Bruce means a lot to Paul as well. And Stephanie, again, to your point, front row at the Hall of Fame. So, yeah.
Can I ask you something about that?
Yeah.
Do you think either one of them needs to come out and kind of say, like, Just because, I mean, some people think, oh, they're hiding stuff. They won't say anything. They're so quiet and secretive. I kind of feel like somebody, like one of them needs to come out and act. Like if Stephanie kind of got ahead of this.
Yeah.
And kind of came out and said, yeah, that's why I left a couple of years ago. Like I was embarrassed and disgusted or I don't know, like something like that. I think it would be, it might help their cause a little bit. But I mean, at the same time, I guess time will heal all, I guess. And they probably think in a couple of years, maybe this will all kind of calm down when it comes to the aspect of them.
Yeah, and listen, at the end of the day, you cannot separate Vince's involvement in the sense that, you know, Paul is his son-in-law and Stephanie is his daughter. And, you know, you may see Shane back in the fold in some way, shape, or form. So we'll see how that all plays out. Like, I just thought that that was unique. But again, I mean, you cannot separate Stephanie from Paul. So that
is her. Yeah. Oh, and I mean, people had said like, oh, are they separated, this, that, and it's like, no, she's there. And he even tweeted out a picture and he put forever. So it's good to see that everything's good with them. Cause I mean, obviously Paul's role has completely changed. He's now even more involved. So he probably has less time to kind of do what he needs to do family wise. But it was good to see Stephanie and him together.
Your thoughts on the beginning of night one? I thought the Rhea Ripley Becky Lynch match certainly lived up to the hype again. That was, and again, I get the new, you know, back in the day, Fernando, you know, you didn't want to begin a show, but now they really do want to begin shows with a bang, make sure people are. Your thoughts on that match? I thought that was tremendous.
I had friends hitting me up and they're like, why are they not putting this closer to the main event? I'm like, no, Triple H is WWE is he wants to start off with a bang. Like last year, John Cena and Austin Theory got things started. Like there's no more like, the main event is the main event, but any match can steal the show and really get you talking. Now, I want to give a lot of credit to Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch was dealing with strep throat and then reportedly, Rhea Ripley had a panic attack before going out to that match. Reportedly, that's what some people are saying. If both of the, I mean, I know the Becky thing is true, but if that's really true, congratulations to them because they put on one hell of a show. And Rhea's entrance was incredible, and then Becky's was too. And the way they really told their story, because I mean, and Rhea after the match said, "This isn't a passing of the torch. This is just." In a sense, because she's beaten the four horsewomen of WWE. I think the only one she's probably missing is Sasha Banks, but obviously we'll see down the line because Mercedes Moné did say, like, I know ultimately I'm going to end up back at WWE, which I'm sure Tony was not happy about. But but Rhea's really taken the WWE by storm. And we have to remember, she's really young in WWE age. Like, I think she's only, like, 27 years old. So she still has a lot to do. I think she's going to be one of these generational talents that we talk about for years. But, no, I'm really excited about what Rhea has to what she's going to do in the next coming years because she really is one of the leaders. And she's the leader of the Judgment Day as well, which I thought she's been incredible at. I mean, we've seen her and Paul Heyman do stuff. And she's literally one of these generational talents that I'm really excited to see what she does next.
Yeah, and by the way, no knock on what Tony Khan has done. I am so glad that there is a second promotion, and there's no shame in being that second promotion. But I think what WrestleMania does in particular is show the divide. Again, you're not.
Yeah.
There's like an A side and a B side, and it's okay to be the B side.
But
you know,
that's the problem. Like when the XFL and all these other things started, sometimes they would try and compete, and it's like, dude, you're never going to compete. Like you need to just build your own product. When they first all started, or the AAF, or all that stuff, you need to just do what you need to do. But at the same time, remember, Big Brother is the WWE. So I think Tony's kind of approached this a little bit wrong, where he tries to compete with them and tries to talk trash about it. I mean, that showing that video of CM Punk coming up this week, if they really do that, I see it more, Rosh, as embarrassing, but I mean, it is what it is. But I don't know if you saw that. That's supposedly they're going to show the video of London where he chokes out Jack Perry. So, supposedly the Young Bucks are going to show that on Wednesday. And I'm like, why? Like, how are you going to do that? So, and then the Young Bucks are in a fight with Eric Bischoff and some other, like, they just—it's just incredible to see that everybody just can't like relax. And then Pat McAfee took a shot at AEW with Rhea Ripley on Friday saying, what would Dominik be doing without you? He's like, he'd be wrestling in front of 600 people, basically saying at AEW. So, yeah, all these shots are, they've been pretty interesting this past week.
But Fernando, you're in the unique position where you've covered the Super Bowl and WrestleMania. You were there Friday talking to a lot of the superstars. Can you give me the sense of what it was like in terms of, you know, when you get in town, the hype around the event. And again, what was it like on Friday?
If I can be honest, I think, I mean, there's, and I tweeted this out last night, there's nothing like the WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, and Arash, you could like The Rock, I could like Stone Cold Steve Austin, but we're still cool. In the Super Bowl, it's like Raider fans are talking crap to Chiefs fans and 49er fans. Like, you know, like, there's not that sense of, like, camaraderie like there is in WWE. In WWE, people could not like each other, but it's fun. Like, yeah. I went to WWE World for a little bit, and you saw people doing entrances. Some guy came out as Dominik Mysterio, and everybody was booing, but booing in unison. A little girl, I'm telling you, Arash, like, 3-4 years old, she came out as, oh, my God, I think Cody Rhodes. And that was one of the loudest woes that I had heard when she like did that. I was like, oh, that's totally awesome. So I think Fanatics did a great job with WWE World, but it just, the atmosphere in the city, everybody getting all hyped, and it was just awesome. And then obviously when I was at the airport, I saw Rikishi come in off his plane and fans were like high fiving, like not bugging him, but just high fiving him and saying, hey, good to see you. This, that, are you going to get involved on Saturday? He's like, no, I'm just here to see my boys. So, yeah, it's just, it's different. And I mean, I think the wrestlers have a little sense of like, I don't know, NFL players, I feel like sometimes they kind of stay away from all that. And WWE legends and all these guys, they'll welcome it, and they're different. So I just think there's nothing like the WWE. And for them to now do a whole week-long thing leading up to it, I think is incredible. I think the way they have wrestlers at WWE World and they have wrestlers standing there talking, and then you have the Pat McAfee show there.
Yeah,
I really think that pretty soon we're probably going to get a Radio Row style stuff with WWE. But I think what they're doing right now is unmeasurable. I mean, I don't even think the Super Bowl kind of touches what WWE does with leading up to WrestleMania.
And to your point, it's really the global nature of the event.
Yep.
You know, with the Super Bowl, you get a little bit of that, but you really don't have fans traveling in from around the world.
Again, Australia to see Rhea Ripley or from Japan to see Io Sky. Like, it's just incredible to see the way fans really get involved. And in the NFL, it's just people are cheering, people are doing the WWE, this is awesome, or like the way they chant, the way they get involved, like it's just completely different. Like I was talking about it with my brother the other day, and I'm like, the entrance, like when The Rock comes out and he points at his arm and says goosebumps, like,
yeah,
there's no, and I know I'm gonna say drug, there's no drug like the WWE. Like when you come out that entrance, it really must just be something unique. And Pat McAfee said it. He's like, I've played in the NFL and I've played in WWE, or I've been in WWE. There's nothing like when you come out, and the energy that you get from the crowd is just, it's unmeasurable. And I'm like, yeah, that must be something that is unique. Just getting that energy and the way the fans kind of get behind you, or they hate you. I mean, and Logan Paul said it. Logan said on his podcast, he's like, it's like, at first I thought, damn, why do they hate me so much? And then he's like, but then I thought, you know what? Embrace it. At least they're cheering, or like, at least there is a reaction. That's when you know you're doing a good job.
Before we close out, the next big event that we'll be covering at the draft in Detroit, the Chargers have the fifth overall pick in the draft. Some folks out there are, you know, I mean, it really runs the gamut, Fernando, whether they're going to trade the pick, whether they're going to take a wide receiver, whether they're going to take a offensive lineman.
It's like choosing between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns.
That's right. You had a chance to talk to some of the Charger staff, including Jim Harbaugh. What's your sense again? I mean, I think this is the question we're going to be talking about right up until the draft, and we're not going to know until the commissioner gets the card. But what's your sense right now?
Somebody asked him about that, and Jim goes, Jim says, when does, he turns over to the head PR guy, and he goes, when does Joe speak? Joe Ortiz, the GM. He's like, in 2 weeks. He's like, oh, that's a perfect question for him. I just started laughing. Jim is different, man, and I know he's going to change once the NFL season comes around, but he's just so unique to talk to. I mean, I asked him, like, hey, What have these 3 months been like since you're back in the NFL? And he's like, man, it's been so much fun. I get to do different things. I've been talking to different people, getting to meet a lot of people, going back to my stomping grounds, back to Michigan. It's just been unique. And he's just different, man. He's so unique. I've never covered anybody like him. So he's been unique to talk to. But on the other side, Arash, I still think that they trade back. I think wide receiver, yeah. I mean, there's two lanes for this. I think wide receiver is a luxury. The Chargers don't have luxuries right now. They have holes at corner, defensive line, offensive line, receiver, running back. They have too many holes to kind of be like, okay, yeah. But then are you ever going to be in this position again to draft a superstar receiver like a Malik Nabers or like Marvin Harrison Jr.? So that's kind of the dilemma. I still think they trade back. I'm probably going to be wrong. They'll trade back. They'll get an offensive, they'll either get an offensive lineman or Brock Bowers at 11 and then get an offensive lineman or a corner with the 23rd pick. I just think that's what they're going to end up doing. They want to secure more picks. I think they want to get more players because of all the holes that they have. But I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona's the one that trades out with Minnesota and then Marvin Harrison Jr. is right there in a bow for Jim Harbaugh. Because, mind you, yes, Michigan did beat Ohio State the last 2 years, but Marvin Harrison Jr. was a headache for Jim Harbaugh these last 2 years.
What have you heard about the new practice facility? Again, they had hoped for a while to have it done or at least close to done by the draft. It doesn't seem like that's the case. What's the latest on the Chargers' new home?
Arash does not want to drive all the way down to Costa Mesa anymore.
I don't want to do that.
supposedly it's going to be ready for training camp. So training camp will be, they'll probably have an inauguration before that, I'm sure. But I think it's going to be training camp when that opens up.
Yeah. I mean, it just, listen, that's part of the pull, I think, in terms of having a beautiful new facility like that. No knock on Costa Mesa. By the way, the Rams are kind of in that same situation where I think their new temporary facility, if that makes sense, will be in Woodland Hills. It's going to be a while.
And then before, the Saints are going to come marching in for training camp, and that's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to be in Irvine now for training camp. So I think that's going to be interesting. I've been saying it, Arash, and just real quick.
Yeah.
I think teams need to do that again to build camaraderie. Go away. Back in the old days, they used to go to universities or go out like 2 or 3 hours away to build camaraderie. Everybody stays in the dorms. Everybody kind of does that. I think the NFL should get back to that because you see kind of a disconnect between teams and coaches and all this stuff. I think that's because they all get to sleep in their beds and they don't know the rough training camp schedules and all that. So I think the NFL needs to go back to that. Get out of your own comfort zone, get guys out of there and get guys back to building camaraderie and kind of being with each other for a month for training camp.
100%. And the Cowboys, you know, quite selfishly do a great job of that.
They do.
They're all the way in California, which Jerry Jones loves, going to Nobu.
Yeah, but they stay at the Ritz-Carlton. Get them in a dorm.
Exactly. Well, Fernando, yeah, your content from Philadelphia was fantastic. We can't wait for your content coming up before the draft. You are the best. We'll have you back on next week. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, speaking of the draft, we'll have Brandon Deutsch on to give us his thoughts on how the first round will transpire. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, I want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. Okay, yeah. In the previous segment, we wrapped up WrestleMania with Fernando Ramirez, who was out there in Philadelphia providing a great coverage. But now we're going to shift gears a little bit here. We have a lot to get into on a Monday. We have the national championship game between UConn and Purdue. But before that, I wanted to ask Brandon, just because we did talk to Fernando about the Chargers and what they may do with the fifth pick. He talked to Jim Harbaugh. Obviously, they're playing it very close to the vest. Brandon, what do you think that the Chargers do with that fifth pick? Again, there's talk about them either trading down, selecting a wide receiver, or going with a big offensive lineman. What do you have the Chargers doing?
Yeah, if they go offensive line, I think the fan base will be in tears. They'll go crazy because they cannot go into next season with Quinnen Johnston being their number one wide receiver. I'm sorry. I like the guy. I like them out of TCU. He obviously had a horrible rookie season. They didn't utilize him the correct way. I think Kellen Moore tried to make him an X receiver, and I think he does really well on slants and yards after the catch. But he did drop a lot of passes. I think they go Malik Nabers. I think it's set in stone. I think there's a promise. I don't know for sure, but he's looking at homes in LA. I think it's kind of one of those things, like, unless Arizona trades back and they're able to get Marvin Harrison Jr., who, by the way, I don't think is as good as Malik Nabers anyways, personally. A lot of people do because of the brand name. I think Roma Dunze and Malik Nabers are just as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. I'll say that right now. At the end of the day, I do think it's Malik Nabers at five. That's what I have in my mock, and that's who I think they'll take, who plays exactly like prime Antonio Brown. Very, very similar in the way they move.
All right, switching gears now, just because I kind of wanted to put a bow on that, because we did ask Fernando about the Chargers at the fifth pick. Okay, stretch run here. Last week of the NBA regular season, and again, there's a gap if you're looking at the schedule of when the playoffs begin. That is because, of course, the play-in tournament, and the play-in tournament is something that has grown on me, certainly as a Lakers fan, when you're fighting for that eighth seed. They're really coming down to the wire. We talked about it in our group chat. A must win. Again, only three games now left in the season, but four prior to last night. And LeBron James flu-like symptoms, having to sit out against Minnesota. No surprise there that that's a loss. That may have been a loss with LeBron, but again, when you don't have LeBron James, you don't give yourself the best chance to win. Jake, you've gone back and forth about this team. It's sort of like that scene in Godfather, was it part three, where, you know, just when you think you've left, like they suck you back in. There have been times this season where you've thought this team can contend. As we get into the stretch run of the season, it does look like they will be, if they win the games that they're supposed to, in that 7-8 matchup. The 7-8 matchup is key, because if you win, you advance. If you lose, you have another chance to advance. Jake, your thoughts on the Lakers as we go into these last couple of games of the season?
I may be the only person that's gone back and forth on this team as many times as I have. They're playing their best basketball of the year. They're 8-2 in their last 10, even with the loss to Minnesota. And it's kind of like what you want. We talk about it a lot with the March Madness and the college basketball tournament, where you just want to be playing your best ball at the end. They've been in this rut all year where they can beat anybody and they can lose to anybody. And that's why that 7-8 is so important, because if they can win 1 of 2 and get into the dance, they got a shot. But if they got to win 2 straight, they can lose to anybody. Really, really tough timing last night with LeBron not being able to go. Obviously, a huge one against Minnesota. So they got 3 left. They're a game and a half back of New Orleans and half a game back of Sacramento, and hold the tiebreaker over Phoenix. So, I mean, a lot can go right, but a lot can go wrong. So we just got to see how these last 3 kind of play out.
Gigi, your thoughts on this Lakers team going into the stretch run? Again, like on paper, I think everyone was excited about them, but now they are back to that 9 seed, a half game back of the Sacramento Kings. I just think when you look at where they were a year ago, you know, getting the 7 seed was big because they hosted that play-in tournament game. They beat the Timberwolves. They advanced. They go on to the run. Now, you know, if they're in that 9-10 matchup, it's just a longer path to get to where they want to go to. But Gia, your thoughts on the Lakers?
It's an uphill battle for sure for them, I think. But are we really concerned about this AD coming out in the first quarter of the last game, or are we like not really concerned about that?
He's supposed to play tonight.
I think, like, yeah. Okay, and so
like, or Tuesday or tomorrow night.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you gotta help tomorrow, yeah. And so if you have like a, if you have a somewhat healthy AD, you obviously get LeBron back. I'm not really concerned because they'll cook. They'll go on a run for sure. I just don't know how far that run will go. Right. I think with Denver, you have Denver, just they're going to dominate the West. It just is what it is. And then you have Boston, who is going to be great up until maybe the bitter end. Because no offense, I see them choking like they normally do. So as far as the Lakers run, I think like, you know, playing is inevitable. I think that, you know, maybe even making it past the first round might even be inevitable just because of the experience level. But after that, I don't really see much moving forward just come playoff time. I'm kind of concerned about their future, to be honest with you, yeah. Because like once, you know, maybe once the playoffs are said and done for them, where they go after this, right? Because it just seems like there's a lot of question marks for them.
Brandon, I want to get your thoughts on the West. Again, if the Lakers win out and they get 48 wins, last year, Brandon, that would have given them the 3 seed in the West. They would have been where the Sacramento Kings are at. Right now, if they get 48 wins, they may be the 8 seed, almost kind of best case scenario. And it's just, again, a testament to how great the West is, but there is a viewpoint that this team is not as good as it was a year ago, when the fact of the matter is they're going to have more wins, but they may not even get out of the play-in tournament.
Yeah, as Jake would say, Jake's best friend, Darvin Ham, really cost this team from winning 55-plus games. It's a 55-plus win team. I mean, the roster's excellent. I think the year D'Angelo Russell's having, very few Lakers from beyond the arc have had in recent years, just shooting the ball really well. Rui Hachimura looks very good. I'm not as concerned. I mean, my dad was telling me this morning, oh, they lost against Minnesota. Yeah, they didn't have Anthony Davis or LeBron James. They still almost won. Yeah. That is insane. Minnesota, and a lot of people are like, oh, they're playing chess, not checkers. They wanted Minnesota to win, so Minnesota gets the 1 seed, and they keep winning. Like, I was just thinking about it like that. I don't think it's set in stone they get 9 or 8. I think they could get 6 or 7 still. I mean, I'm just looking at the Kings schedule specifically. They play the Pelicans and the Suns, right? The Suns play the Pelicans and the Kings. Like, they're still, and the Lakers are going to win out. I mean, as long as LeBron plays the rest of their games, the Warriors game is the key one, but I'm not in on the Warriors. Everyone is so high on them. They're chokers. They're not getting past. I mean, they're done. The dynasty's over. They're not going to beat the Lakers if it's the 9-10 game. In fact, I don't think it's even close. I think they get blitzed by 20. If they play the Lakers in the play-in game. I don't think they're any good. I really don't. And by the way, do they have anything to play for? Aren't they locked into 10? They're not going to catch the Lakers, pretty much. I mean, in all likelihood. So at the end of the day, I do think the Lakers win out, get 48 wins, as long as LeBron and AD are healthy. And I think that could get them the 7th seed. I think that's what they want.
Yeah, and listen, the key with the 7th seed is that's what they got a year ago, and that's a home game. And again, you win, you advance. You lose, you live to see one more game. And so, I mean, that is the big key there. And they've been a good home team. I want to get everyone's thoughts on the Clippers as well. The Clippers, by the way, can help the Lakers in a weird way again, because they played the Suns on Tuesday. They have been a very like unpredictable team. I mean, if we've talked about the Lakers, the same is true with them. At the very least, for the Clippers, it looks like they are probably going to be locked into that 4 seed. That at least gives them home court in that first round. But again, the who they play in the first round is going to be very key for them. It's, you know, they could play the Pelicans, which they don't want. It could be the Mavericks. It could be the Suns. Brandon, I'll start with you and then work around the room. Your thoughts on the Clippers? Again, looks like they're probably going to get that 4 seed. But for them, it's always been health. And who are they going to be matched up against?
Yeah, it looks like they're playing the Mavericks, right? So, I mean, that again, a third chapter, right? Clippers won the first two series. This is going to be – I mean, Clippers fans aren't going to like this. I don't see them beating Luka and Kyrie. I mean, did you see the Rockets game yesterday? I mean, Luka and Kyrie were down, what, 30 in the first quarter, and it was like nothing that they come back. They're a team you can shoot them in the foot and they'll just keep going and beat you and destroy you and leave you on the ground. I mean, that's a team that I think could beat Denver. I think the team that's going to beat Denver, if anybody, is Dallas. I really do. I mean, they match up really well. Gafford can really play defense. No one can really guard Jokic, but he probably can do the best job as long as they get Lively back healthy. PJ Washington was a huge pickup. They're going to beat the Clippers for sure. I mean, I'm not even impressed with the 26-point comeback. Why they shouldn't have even been down in the first place. The team got spanked by the Lakers the night before. It was a back-to-back, okay? Like, they shouldn't have been, it shouldn't have even been close. I don't care that Kawhi was out. Donovan Mitchell was out, and they were getting spanked. So at the end of the day, I'm not in on the Clippers. I think it's asinine to believe they're going to do anything in the playoffs. I don't care if they're healthy. They haven't shown anything, any form of substance and consistency over the past 2 months. And they have James Harden, who's one of the biggest chokers in playoff history. So I'm just being real. I mean, Kawhi's great. I mean, sure, he might win you two games against the Mavericks, but I hope I'm wrong for Clippers fans' sake. I think it'd be nice for them to go to the Western Conference Finals or the Finals, but I just don't see it happening.
Jake, your thoughts on the Clippers?
Yeah, I hate to kind of do what Brandon did and just be the Laker fan that jumps all over the squash with their dreams. But I mean, Dallas has won 14 of 16, I believe, and Kyrie and Luka can both take over any game at any point, as we both know. And the Clippers, I mean, I have a Clippers Western Conference champion ticket, so I'm rooting for this team because I believed in them, and then they went through their stretch. But they've also kind of figured out a little bit too, and they've, I think, won 7 of 8 or 7 of 9, something in there. So again, we've always talked, it's going to be health with this team. Paul George kind of seems like he's kind of taken the reins as option A for this offense. But then again, Kawhi can take over a game at any point too and lock whoever down on the other end, whether it's Luka or Kyrie. So it'll be really, really interesting. But I mean, we've seen a ton of history with these two teams in postseason games, and they've gone the Clippers way. So we'll see if they can do it for a third time. But, you know, it's hard to beat anybody, you know, three times once you get to this point, whether it's over a couple of years or not, or within a season. Beating a team that you have, you know, this much, you know, data and knowledge about three times is incredibly hard.
GK, you've always been a very realistic Clippers fan. And so I want to get your thoughts on them as we go into another postseason with this group.
Yeah, here's the thing. Regular season is not the playoffs, guys. It's just, you know, they're two totally separate things. You can stop analytics and, you know, stats all you want. When it comes to the postseason, if they are healthy, and I know everybody hates saying that, but if they are healthy, they will do extremely well, in my opinion. Now, am I expecting them to win everything? Absolutely not. Like, I'm, again, realistic Clipper fan. But I think that, you know, playoff, I hate calling him that, but playoff P is totally different than regular season Paul George. Kawhi Leonard is a different player in the playoffs. Now, James Harden, I'm with you on that one, Brandon. I'm not the hugest fan. Didn't want him on the Clippers. I will agree. If he has to change, something has to change in him in order for him to maybe change. Just, I think, people's minds in general of his performance during the playoffs. But other than that, I mean, I think, like, you still got Z down there low. I think that they're going to do extremely well. They have, they can contend, is what I'm saying. Now, will they win outright? Absolutely not. But I think that they can still contend, and this team can still make it, I want to say, at least past the second round.
All right. Jihei, I wanted to also get your thoughts on John Calipari, kind of trying to upstage the national championship game on Monday, making the shocking move. I guess shocking. I don't know. Domino effect, by the way. So Merrick Musselman leaves Arkansas, goes to USC, and now John Calipari leaving Kentucky to go to Arkansas on a 5-year contract. Your thoughts on that big move?
Yeah, you know what? Go where the money is, man. That's what your players are doing. Go where the money is. So this doesn't entirely shock me. He even said after his loss in the tournament, it's time for a change. It's time for something different. I'm trying to make some moves and stuff. Whether probably UK fans thought that was going to be him staying and maybe shaking things up, which I didn't see happening. This good move for Calipari. Maybe he just needs a change of scenery. He has been with UK for a very long time. So I think, and obviously something isn't working, right? So maybe he is going to have to start all over, though. I feel more bad for UK. Well, I shouldn't say I feel bad for UK fans because they don't really.
I don't feel bad for UK.
I kind of feel bad for
UK. I have no ill will towards.
Let's feel bad for a basketball school that has won so many national championships and has.
Give him this though. When was the last title he won? It was with AD.
That's right.
Let's take that into consideration. That's the last.
That was the only one.
That's the only one, right?
Well, but. I will, however, say this. I feel bad for the fans because all those recruits that UK had, they're gone. So all those, they had the number two class outside of Duke. So Duke gets the number one class and then UK gets the second class in ranking. So those kids are probably gone.
And again, so listen, there is no doubt about that, G. Hey, there is a domino effect normally that takes place here. And if you're Kentucky, you are not going to dip your toes lightly into the coaching pool. You're going to go after a home run hire. Dan Hurley is expected to obviously win his second straight national championship at UConn. Sometimes when that happens, the coach will look for a next challenge. Brandon, there's been talk out there. I mean, listen, what if Kentucky backs up the Brinks truck for this, this next great coach and look at what Dan Hurley's done. I mean, that's the kind of dominance that they want in Kentucky. What do you think Dan Hurley will do?
Well, ESPN doesn't want Dan Hurley to leave UConn. I'll tell you that. They love it when UConn's good because it's right in their backyard, Bristol, near Bristol. At the end of the day, I think Hurley's going to stay at UConn. I really do. I think, Jake kind of knows that too. He disliked my message. Kentucky's going to do everything in their power to get Dan Hurley. And if they don't, they're going to get, who else are we thinking of? I'm more interested in obviously they're not going to go Patino, obviously, but I'm just thinking who else, who's the home run hot? College basketball is weird now.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach K retired, North Carolina changed their head coach recently, obviously. Syracuse is kind of in that transition period. I doubt they haven't been good in a long time with Boeheim and whatever. And obviously that's not working out. Right. I don't know. I mean, Jake, who do you think they could go after UK?
Well, this is kind of similar to the Alabama football opening where guys who you never expected that their names would be in a coaching search are in because it's the UK job. So you're going to hear you're going to hear Scott Drew's name from Baylor. You're going to hear Mark Few's name. You're going to hear TJ Otzelberger's name out of Iowa State. His buyout is through the roof. But I mean, you're going to hear every big name that the sport has because UK, kind of like Alabama, just recruits itself. It's a top three job in the sport. There's no question about it, regardless of if they've had success or not. I mean, they won one national championship. Cal took them to 7 Elite Eights. The last few years have been rough, losing to St. Peter's and in Oakland this year. But that job, I mean, anybody could land there and it wouldn't surprise me. But it is crazy that Andy Enfield left SC to go to SMU, and that's kind of just what set this whole thing off. XM Musselman goes to SC and then Cal leaves and goes to Arkansas. So I do think that this divorce between Cal and UK was inevitable. The last few years were kind of just, the nail in the coffin. But they could go and get anybody. Billy Donovan, NBA, I've seen that name thrown around. They could poach whoever they want from anywhere because their resources are just through the roof.
Yeah. G.A., is there a coach out there? Again, you're lucky that you had a succession plan in place at Duke. But if you're Kentucky, is there a name out there that you would try to poach that big name coach?
You know what? I think that, and this is just me saying this, I don't think they're going to do this at all. I think they're going to go for the big name. They'll go for somebody that's, up there. I think that you should poach an assistant somewhere on somebody's bench, on a big time program because they can definitely be too. Also possibly Pitt's, coach as well. You could possibly poach him. He's doing extremely well. I know it doesn't sound like he is, but I think that Pitt got robbed from the tournament. I think that he should have actually that team should have actually made it in, and he's doing really great things with that that school. But yeah, I say look at the assistants on those benches to get a coaching position there. That's what I personally would do.
You're not wrong, but I just think with that fan base and the boosters and the alums and this will be an established coach. And I kind of felt that for a while at USC when they were content with staying with Clay Helton. I'm the problem is Clay Helton wouldn't get a job anywhere else significant. What are we doing here? Same thing with, Kentucky. You have to, as great as it may be to get a assistant who may be that next great coach, let them be that great coach. And then you'll get that big booster to bring him to campus. But again, a lot to get into this week as we kind of transition into the playoffs and the draft and all that fun stuff. So we'll be on top of it all. All right. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.